Happy December yet again. It's actually our first show in December, December 4th, 2017. We didn't do any shows on Friday, so I couldn't count that. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening today or on the archives, whenever you're listening. We archive everything over at our website, education-talkradio.org. That's O-R-G, okay? And the schedule's up there for the week. We change the schedule every Saturday. And there's a click-through link to listen. As you all know, we tweet over at EduTalk Radio, Facebook's EduTalk Radio, et cetera. So you can follow us, friend us, whatever. FNF, follow and friend over there. All right, and we always send out a direct link, so you'll be able to listen to shows and see what we're doing. We got a nice schedule for this week, and we got a wonderful show this morning. I'm thrilled. Deb Froggett is here. Dr. Froggett, okay, is the Director of Library Services for the Boston Public Library, and she was at the Boston Arts Academy and Fenway High School and was the Public Library Director in Sherman, Connecticut. We'll find out where that is. And we've got Bonnie McBride, who is a certified school library teacher. I love that term, okay, as opposed to just school librarian. And she's at Fenway High School, which, as you might realize, is somewhere around Fenway Park. And Morgan Van Cleef is an elementary school librarian in Boston as well. And we're going to talk about libraries in general, school libraries, and association with the public libraries. Thanks to Deb. She's here. She helped me set up this whole show. And we're going to talk specifically about the invisibly injured, which is a term I think that, well, I'll let them explain it as I bring them on, which I'm going to do right now. Let me see if I can get this together here. There we go. I should have done this before. And my good buddy Deb Froggett is there, the one and only Dr. Deb Froggett. Deb, it's Larry. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, Larry. I want to make one clarification. I'm
yes.
Library Services Director for Boston Public Schools, not Boston
Schools.
Public Library.
Schools.
Yes.
I'm thank you.
Schools.
You know, it didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me when I said it. Okay. All right, but that's good. At Boston Public Schools, so even better, Deb, because we are Education Talk Radio after all. Thank you. Okay, I appreciate that. Bonnie, you there?
I am here. Hello.
Oh, call me Larry. Say hello,
hi,
Larry.
Larry.
Bonnie, how are you today? All right, and you're over at Fenway High School. Are you a Red Sox fan?
I am a Red Sox fan, but we're actually not near Fenway Park anymore. They moved
us
2 years ago.
Why can't I get anything right this morning? It's Monday morning.
Morning. We used to be. We're in Mission Hill now.
Oh,
happy to be here.
Thank you very much. And by the way, we're talking nationally, so Fenway Park is where the Boston Red Sox play, just in case anybody wants to know, okay? Different, now on a different set. Why'd they move it and call it still Fenway Park? Why'd they do that?
It's been our name forever, yeah.
Oh, okay. And by the way, everybody, just so everybody knows this, I'll bring you on in just a second, Morgan. The fens is marshy grassland. If you go to England, they have a whole area called the Fens, and it was marshy grassland around that area. You guys know this, so it's Fenway Park. Morgan, you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Morgan. Good girl. Called me Larry right off the bat. Have I made any mistakes yet about you?
So far, you've been perfect for me, so we're all good.
Good enough. I'm sticking with Morgan here today. That's all there is to it. All right. Morgan, where are you an elementary librarian? Did I make a mistake here?
We are a part of Boston Public Schools. Our school in particular is located in Dorchester.
And what is the school?
We are the P.A. Shaw Elementary School, named after the first woman, Pauline Shaw, who actually brought kindergarten to the United States.
Wow, very cool. I got to tell you, that's terrific. Okay, good old Boston Public Schools. I'm sorry about that, Deb. Okay, appreciate
that's
that.
Fine. Actually,
yeah, actually, Deb and my wife met. And one question, just a personal question. How was Tubby the guinea pig, Deb?
Well, you have to ask Morgan, because Morgan's the one who
Morgan
takes care of Tubby.
Morgan,
yes.
Explain Tubby.
Tubby
Morgan,
is
you're
very
a librarian.
Good.
Explain. Wait a minute. Got to tell everybody this. Okay, my wife introduced me to Deb after she met her over at MassQ. They met, and it was terrific. And she wrote an introductory letter, and the way she wrote it, it inferred that her husband was Tubby the guinea pig.
Tubby is actually getting ready for his first class. He loves coming to school, so he was very excited this Monday morning.
I can't imagine. Why are we talking about Tubby the guinea pig? Please explain before we get into the real nitty gritty here. Who is Tubby the guinea pig?
So Tubby the guinea pig is our library pet at the PA Shaw. We actually use him a lot for the social emotional learning component of our school.
There you go.
So in terms of, you know, discussing needs, feelings, having children express their feelings if they're dealing with a hard time, he's a really calming presence. So they sort of go to him instead of a teacher. We use him for reading groups. Children practice reading to him because they're more comfortable speaking to him than teachers. So he's been really wonderful for our program this year.
And who takes care of him on the weekends? You said he's back to school today.
I do.
Yep.
He's also one of our basically family members. So he comes home on the weekend.
Cool. And you carry his little cage home, or does he come home in like a cat carrier? How does he come home?
Yep, he actually has his own little carrier, almost like a cat carrier. So he does not
like
car rides.
Wow, you tell Tubby that Uncle Larry, the other Tubby the guinea pig, says hello.
I'll give him a carrot for you, Larry.
Would you do that for me? Thank you, Morgan.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Tell him it's from Uncle Larry. Okay? He's now world famous. We're talking nationally, probably internationally. So Tubby is now world famous. And, you know, Morgan, that's a great segue, what you said. He helps with the kids with social emotional learning, which is so darn important these days.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about what you guys called, and what Deb in particular called, the invisibly injured student. And, Deb, I'm going to ask you to define that, please.
Sure. I first heard the term when Boston Public Schools received a grant from the Massachusetts Office of Victim Assistance to provide support for schools in high trauma areas. And the gentleman that awarded the grant, Liam Lowney, who is the executive director of MOVA, when he awarded the grant, he described the invisibly injured. And as I was in the audience, I made the direct connection because school library teachers very often know in a school who the invisibly injured are.
Sure.
And it was a wonderful term, and so I want to give him credit. So my interpretation is that the invisibly injured are often students that may not have a special ed designation or any special designation, but really are suffering in some fashion, and often they find themselves in the library at lunch. These are the kids that don't really like the lunchroom that much, or it could be a student that just during a short period of time is, you know, going through a divorce in the family or has suffered a loss of a loved one and so on. So that's where that term comes from.
And hence the social emotional learning fits right in. Okay.
Yes, it does.
It really does, and Tubby the guinea pig is cute. And I want to ask Bonnie this. Bonnie, we'll get into this in more detail. But you know, in elementary school, Tubby does a good job of helping the kids. You know, he's a pet. You can say I love you to him, and he always smiles back at you. And but what about high school kids? Okay, you know, we talk about the service dogs and all that sort of thing. You see people taking their dogs on airplanes to calm them down and to calm the person down. And I'm curious, are there any pets that you know of in the high schools? I'm just curious about this part.
So I don't know of any pets that are in high school libraries, but I do know that many college libraries, and it's starting to trickle down to high schools now, they bring in emotional support dogs during high-stress times.
Yeah.
So they'll bring in therapy dogs during finals week. And the students, no matter what their age, they soften when they see these dogs or cats. They're starting to bring cats in now, too.
Sure.
And it's just a nice way that you can de-stress. Another thing in libraries, and I do in my library, we have like a coloring station where you might think coloring, what does that have to do with high school kids? But you put out the coloring pages and the markers, and during lunchtime or during a break, someone might just come and sit, and it's very calming and soothing just to sit and color and go back to your childhood for a little bit.
Right. It is wonderful, by the way. That's why coloring, all those coloring books they make for adults these days are so darn helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But what you folks are talking about is really incredible, okay, how calming the library can be. And I know a lot of libraries, they're maker spaces, they're active, we all know that, okay? But one of the first things that goes when a budget is cut is either A, guidance counseling, or B, the library. All right. And that has to stop, because the library, and we're going to talk about this in a second, really is an integral part of a school and a school district. And that cannot be forgotten by anybody. That I speak to school boards all the time, et cetera. And I hope they're listening to me right now. Deb, let me go back to you, Dr. Froggatt. Okay. Talk, by the way, the same last name as Anna on Downton Abbey. No relation. I already asked her that. Right? Right, Deb?
Yes. At least not
beautiful.
Immediate relation.
Okay, good enough. And I did ask you that the first time because it's an unusual last name, and everybody loves Joanna Froggatt. And we love you now, Deb. You're equal. You're equal.
Great.
Yeah, good. How's that feel?
It feels great.
Good. Excellent. Okay. The body of research that you guys use shows a strong correlation between an active school library program and academic success. Okay, everybody should know that just intrinsically. All right, and I don't know why the budget always gets cut. Okay, because we do know that, but there's a disconnect somewhere. Okay, when you say active school library program, okay, and you're the director, okay, what does that mean?
That means that a certified library teacher, and he or she is in full collaboration with the faculty. They team teach. They partner in order to provide personalized learning to students. An active program has a schedule where all students can access the library pretty much at mm-hmm. any given time or a regularly scheduled time. There is a collection of physical and digital resources that are culturally and linguistically sustaining and meet the developmental and extracurricular needs of the students. And school librarians, and this is where the invisibly injured come in, know students well. They know all of the students. They know their reading strengths. They know their interests. They build curiosity in order to have the students become lifelong learners. And lovers of literature as well.
And lovers of reading, period. I mean, it's just that important, which makes all the difference in the world. So now let me swing over to Bonnie. Okay, Bonnie, does that happen at Fenway High School? I know you're going to say yes. It's not a trick question, but I just want to hear. I want to hear how it manifests itself, and I'm going to ask Morgan the same thing.
Sure. So here at Fenway High School, I have a really great partnership with many of our teachers. They do see me as an equal, as a collaborative partner, and they know how I can support their curriculum. And I'm an expert in information literacy and doing the research and teaching students digital citizenship. And so they know they don't have to do that in their classroom. And by partnering with me, I can support whatever they're teaching by adding these components into it to make it more well-rounded. I've worked really closely with our Sheltered English Immersion program to bring our English language learners into the library. So that's a really great collaboration. But in Fenway, the library is really the hub of the school for both academic
and
also for social things. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I think back to when I was in high school. By the way, it was a long time ago. There were only 7 books in the world. That's how long ago it was. But the library... we were on scrolls and he rolled them out. Okay. But, you know, the school library at Overbrook High School in Philadelphia, where I went, which was a great high school and huge and old even then. Okay. But it was great. Will Smith and Will Chamberlain went there, just in case you didn't hear me late. I always like to say to people that. Okay. But we weren't involved with the library at all. And I hate to say this, I don't think I ever once went to the high school library. And it was totally uninvolved. I don't even think I know who the librarian was. All right. And that obviously was wrong and stupid, but it's a long, long time ago now. All right. And you said this: the library is an integral part of the school, which it should be. All right. So let me ask, okay, how does that, I'll use the word manifest itself again, how does that manifest itself? Do you go into their classrooms? Okay, do they come to the library? We probably went to the library once and got the 10th grade lecture when we started, and that was the end of that, okay, back a million years ago. But how does it work when you're dealing with this, Bonnie, on a day-to-day basis?
It really varies. I sometimes do push into classrooms, but I prefer the students to come to the library because that's where all of our resources are. But on a typical day, I probably we have 375 students at Fenway High right now. I probably get about 200 walking through my door every day. This morning,
really?
I had about 50
wow.
students in the library before school, just finishing up homework, printing things out, checking in with me on how to format a humanities citation. It's really a very varied schedule at the high school because I don't have a set schedule. So today I'm going to have some science fair kids coming in, completing some science fair projects. So it really changes day to day, but that's just a little snippet. Mm-hmm. And I do get the kids in at lunchtime. So teachers know that if they want to use me as a resource, they tend to come here. But sometimes I'll push in just for a quick 15-minute refresher on how to use a database or something in a classroom to partner with a teacher that way. But, it's a really active place.
That's wonderful. And you said there were, 600 kids in the school? Is that right? How many kids?
No, 375. So
375. You ready?
Yeah.
Sit down. Bonnie, sit down. There were 1,100 kids. 1,100 kids in my graduating class at
Oh, my gosh.
1,100 in my graduating class. All right?
Wow.
It was bigger than the college I went to. We had about 5,500 kids there. It was just unbelievable. Yeah. Five shifts, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Starting at 7 in the morning or something like that. All right? And that is wonderful. Okay? And do you have a library assistance? Or is it just you?
No, it's really just me. I do a little outside fundraising. Our school does, and they do supply me with enough money so I can pay to keep the library open till 5 o'clock every day. So I have some Simmons students who are studying to be school librarians, and they're here from 3 to 5 after school every day. So our library is open from 8 to 5 daily.
Wow! Congratulations. That's wow. That's dedication. Okay, Morgan. Okay. Talk to me about the school library at Shaw, okay, where you are, the elementary school. And I'm also curious, we're going to get into this more in a second, but you can start it, okay? In any big city schools, you're going to have a lot of ELL, English language learners, okay? And you also use the term sheltered English immersion. I'm not sure what that means. We can talk about that. I don't know if it's the elementary or secondary. But talk to me, Morgan, about how the library manifests itself in an elementary school, your elementary school.
Sure.
And also you have the English, you obviously have kids who are having trouble with English or learning English, or however you want to say that. Just talk about that. Then we'll swing back to Bonnie. You're on.
Sure.
Morgan.
So our schedule is just a little different than Bonnie's, only because I'm elementary and she's high school. So
sure.
My students have a set up time every week that they come to the library. So I see every single kid at least once a week for 50 minutes. So they sort of come as like a special, just like they would go to gym or music. They also come to library class.
Wow.
Which
great.
Is really
super.
Nice for them because it guarantees them a time that they're coming in, whether it's to check out books or, you know, we're learning about fiction versus nonfiction, or right now it's coding week. So most schools in Boston are doing something along the lines of computer programming. So I'm doing that.
I thought you were taking them back. I thought you were taking them back to the Dewey Decimal System. I wouldn't say coding.
We still do
library.
That too. Oh, we just
Good
did
girl.
A Dewey Decimal System scavenger hunt, so they know their numbers.
Wow! I'm impressed. That's great.
We still use it.
Let me ask you this. Okay, when I was in school, when my kids were in school, all the books were in English. Now, we're talking about English language learners. We want them to understand, and sheltered kids, and we want them to understand English, but we also have to take them slowly through it. Elementary mm-hmm. school certainly has enough ELLs in there. Talk to me about that part of it, then I'm going to get back to Bonnie.
Yeah. So our neighborhood in particular, because we are located in Dorchester, we're a neighborhood that is identified by its level of economic and racial diversity. We also do have a history of a large immigrant population. So not only are many of our students coming in not speaking English, but many of their families, their parents and their grandparents, aren't speaking English either. So we sort of have to be really good about how we're giving out information. Forms and papers are going home in English, Spanish, and in Haitian Creole. Our library collection, well, that's where our job, you know, we're sort of can go hand in hand with helping those students because we can have books in English and Spanish. Both Bonnie and I know try really hard to build a collection that has more than just books in English to sort of make those students feel more comfortable when coming to the library.
Sure. They still got to learn to
read.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, you know, a high priority for us to make sure that they're comfortable. They can see books that they know in Spanish and then slowly sort of move over to become comfortable with books in English.
That's cool. By the way, Deb, did you know Carolyn was an ESL teacher, my wife? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
She was. She was a great one, too. Okay. And we worked a lot. We worked a lot with corporations, okay, who were bringing in engineers from all over the world. Nokia. They would bring in engineers from China, okay? And the next day they would be in customer service, and you had to see that operate. All right, and these were adults and engineers and all that, so you can only imagine what it was like. This is after she worked with high school kids, et cetera. It was really just amazing. Bonnie, come back to me and talk about sheltered English immersion. Why the word sheltered?
So this goes back to a statewide vote that happened over 15 years ago, I think now, where the voters decided that any English language learner student could only be taught in English. So our students are in a sheltered English immersion program. When they come here to Fenway, we're a Spanish-only sheltered English immersion program. So all of them are native Spanish speakers, but they get all of their classes, all of their content is taught to them solely in English. So that's where the sheltered English immersion comes from. They're sheltered from the rest of the school environment. So they're getting their content, but in a much lower English level, appropriate to their ability.
I used to be a social studies teacher. How does a social studies teacher learn to do that? Do they use a fifth grade curriculum or something while teaching high school? I'm trying to figure that one out. Yeah.
Our SEI, the shorthand is SEI. Our SEI teachers are really, really awesome. We don't actually have a social studies curriculum here at Fenway. We do humanities. So our humanities teacher is teaching our students exactly what the rest of the general education population is learning, but just at a lower level. So right now our humanities classes are going through philosophy, and they're learning about the Plato's Allegory of the Cave, and they were just talking about Immanuel Kant, and our SEI students are learning that too.
You might say you might say Immanuel Kant, but he can.
They're learning exactly what our general ed students are. It's just a little bit slower, and everything is at a much simpler English level, and a lot of it is defining the terms, teaching the vocabulary along with what the students are learning.
And as a librarian, what do you do with that?
Sure. I have really partnered since we started this program 3 years ago. I became a really close partner with our SEI team because I was listening to the teachers talk, and they were talking about how when the program started, the students were seeing two teachers every day, and it was just going back and forth between the two classrooms. They didn't feel comfortable in the school as a whole, so this connects back to our social and emotional learning component too, that the students were just going back and forth to those two teachers. They weren't meeting other teachers. They weren't meeting other students. And one of the teachers wanted to do a research project with them, so she came to me and we started talking. And I said, sure, this would be a really great way to teach them research. It was an immigration narrative they were writing, so we were learning about immigration trends from their home countries. And so we started just doing small library programs by bringing them up into the library. They got to meet me. They were traversing more through the school. And from that, I really got to know these students, and the partnership deepened because I found out what they needed, what types of books they liked. And as Morgan was saying, it is so important to keep up their literacy levels in their native language. So not only are we trying to teach them English, but we're trying to also improve their Spanish and have them keep reading in their native language. So I brought in lots of Spanish books. And they really blossomed. The students who were initially scared to speak to anyone other than their two teachers, because they didn't feel comfortable in English and they didn't feel comfortable talking to anyone else, they got to know me and they felt, okay, the library is another space for me. It's another place I can go. I feel safe here. If I need help, I can also go to the library.
Is there a middle school, Bonnie, is there a middle school between you and Morgan?
There's many.
There's no, like my students don't go to Bonnie's high school. They'll go to a different
high school. I didn't mean it. What I was trying to, maybe I did ask it wrong, but what I was trying to figure out, are the librarians between elementary, and actually, Deb, maybe you can answer this best because you're director, are the librarians between elementary, middle, and high school, okay, are they coordinating? I mean, how does the librarians all get together and make sure this is working out right down the line? And then obviously not Shaw and Fenway, but just in general.
We have quarterly professional development gatherings, and this week is actually an early release or an early one at 3 o'clock on Tuesday, and then the same agenda on Thursday. And so we do professional development there, and we take a look to, like, for instance, this week we're taking the librarians' goals from the year, their instructional focus goals, and applying them to the new American Association of School Library Standards, which were just re-released. The last set of standards were in 2009. And then we're also going to look at the Boston Public Schools 4 core essentials, including cognitively demanding tasks and safe and welcoming classrooms and that kind of thing. And so that's a form of a way to provide consistency. We also last year and the year before developed a Boston Public Schools guided inquiry curriculum that has a scope and sequence of what students in each grade should know about information literacy and information fluency and digital citizenship from K-12. You know, each grade level has a set of standards.
Yeah, it's really good.
We do see, like, I'll at that meeting this Tuesday, I will see Bonnie. So all the elementary school librarians will get a chance to see the middle school and the high school librarians.
And everybody wearing a name tag, they should have a big thing, middle school, high school, whatever on it, because that coordination, okay, to me is incredibly important. I don't want kids, and it was not cool, again, when I went to school, it was a zillion years ago, but nothing was coordinated. Nothing was coordinated, okay, between the junior high, and then when I taught, it was the same thing outside of Philadelphia. There was nothing coordinated that teachers knew of between the schools. Okay, which was not good, and it always concerned me. And as I look back on it, I think it was a tremendous mistake. Deb, as you look about, we're getting more and more children in special ed, and we're getting more and more English language learners. I did a show last week, actually I think Thursday, with the company Rosetta Stone and Dr. Frumkes, who was my guest, Lisa, wonderful guest, and she said that 40% and by 2030, I think she said, which is not that far in the future now, there will be 40% of American students will be ELL students, okay, which is a tremendous thing, all right? And I'm curious, you know, as we go through all this, is there enough dollars coming in, et cetera, to handle all this? And are the librarians, Deb, taught to handle this in college? It's a sea change.
I'll answer the second question first. I think school library teacher programs are across the country, and they're part, you know, it's one of the few teaching degrees that requires either a master's or 24 hours or 24 credits above a bachelor's degree. And in those programs, yes, indeed, they're beginning to really address the needs of an English language learner. And so I, you know, we partner closely with Simmons here, and we're beginning a partnership with Plymouth State, you know, so we're striving to get, you know, more teachers, a more diverse school library teacher base within the school district. And Boston Public Schools actually has a pretty, it's new, but it's a strong program for principals and beginning teachers, you know, to foster what it means to have ELLs in front of them, and also to have foster acquire getting diverse teachers in front of the students, if you will, and school leaders. It sounds like somebody in regard to
PA at Fenway High. Wait a minute, let's listen. There we go.
You have 5 minutes to get to class.
There you go. That's so funny. Oh, thank you for I love that when that happens. I love that when that happens because we're talking about it's just it's historical. And also people love to talk into microphones. It's always dangerous to give the front office staff the microphone. They love talking into it. My old principal.
That
loved,
is so true.
Loved, like he was a radio guy, you know. He would just interrupt all the time. So it's no problem at all. Yeah, but I want to ask something else. Are there enough school librarians in training? Are there enough school librarians in training?
I think it varies across the country. In Massachusetts, we are really down. I mean, sometimes there are more positions than librarians, but it just depends from year to year, and it depends on a budget cycle. Programs are growing nationally and statewide in schools. But for instance, you know, 10 years ago when the economy was tanking, that was different. So it goes in cycles. And so there is growth, but there certainly could be more growth.
Well, school librarians go to heaven. I say that all the time here on the show. So you're going to go to heaven. And I mean that sincerely. You and special ed teachers are all going to go to heaven. It's unbelievable. What's the BPS, Boston Public Schools strategy team, Deb? What's this?
The strategy team upon which my position sits is a team that includes departments that reach across traditional departments like academics and facilities and so on. And so on the team that I sit is the Department of Equity, it's human capital, which is, you know, related to what I just described about the diverse nature of our teaching and school leaders. Data and accountability, the academic response team that targets schools to just work alongside of teachers to grow their expertise in teaching these special needs and ELLs. Within their content areas, and then the turnaround team, which works with the turnaround. So I have the good fortune of working with these people, and we work across departments, and we're really trying to bring coherence across the district. One of the three priority areas.
It's good. Where's all that noise coming from? Is it Bonnie or Morgan?
It's probably me. We now have helicopters flying over the school, so the excitement continues.
The excitement continues. Okay. That's just hysterical. It really is. All right. I no problem at all. Deb, you know, the strategy team, do they get them how important the library is? Do they really get it?
Oh, yes, indeed. They do get it. And I'm appreciative of the opportunity to have the Library Services Department be part of this greater conversation because at a district level, the Library Services sort of reaches across all of these lines as well as working closely with academics and the Office of Instructional and Informational Technology and so on.
And I'm going to say it the other way, too. When educators, you mentioned Plymouth State and Simmons and all the other state colleges, et cetera, UMass, whatever, and colleges across the country. When I was in teacher training, not teacher training, but, you know, in teacher education at college, they never once mentioned the library. No one did. They never mentioned the use of the library. Now, again, it's a long time ago now. Okay. But when you're training a principal, when you're training a superintendent, when you are training your teachers, you have got to keep mentioning that the librarians are key, especially in this day of English language learning. okay, and media literacy. They're the experts. Am I right, Morgan?
Definitely right. I think
Thank
to
you.
Debbie's
am I right?
point, too,
Bonnie,
a lot of...
Wait a minute, Bonnie, I want to get a vote. Bonnie, am I right?
You're 100% right.
Thank you. It's my show. I have to be right. Go ahead, Morgan. What were you going to say?
I was just, in terms of, as Debbie was saying, Boston Public Schools' strategic plan, a lot of the points that they make in there, the library is sort of the perfect place. It just makes sense, goes hand in hand. I mean, it is a place where you would automatically think students can read widely, think critically. You know, we can present the content in different ways. We are the safe and welcoming learning environment. So it just sort of goes hand in hand.
Here, here. Last words, Bonnie McBride at Fenway High School.
I'm just going to echo everything that Morgan just said. And it is so important that we continue to advocate for ourselves because, as you said, Larry, they aren't teaching the teachers all the uses of a librarian. So that falls on us,
mm-hmm.
and we do try to do our best, but especially a librarian in a huge school, it's going to be difficult to connect with each and every teacher and explain what our role is. So
right.
we need to keep advocating and getting into the training programs to let the teachers know the wonderful resource that we are.
You are a wonderful resource. Deb, you're the boss, Deb. Give us the word, the final word from high above.
Well, the final word from high above is that I'm really proud of the Boston Public Schools Library team members, and they are a committed group of educators who are striving to meet the personal needs of the students, and that's my final word. So I thank them because I couldn't do what I do without their good work.
And you know what? I thank them, too. I love school librarians. You guys are going to heaven. Thank you, Morgan. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Deb.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
thank you,
Larry.
And excuse me, before I forget, Morgan, don't forget the carrot to Tubby from Uncle Larry.
Oh, I will not forget. He's ready
okay.
for it, trust me.
Right. Actually, it sounds like Tubby could use an ice cream sundae. He is Tubby to get even.
Tubby needs a diet, so
well,
he gets a lot of treats from these kids.
No wonder my wife made that error. So do I. I feel for Tubby, not to worry. Thank you, ladies. You were wonderful. And keep up the good work and have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wow, three great ladies. And as I always say, school librarians go to heaven. They should put that on their bumper stickers. Okay, it's really true. Deb Froggatt is just great. Okay, and Tubby the Guinea Pig is great. Not to mention Bonnie McBride and Morgan Van Cleef from Shaw Elementary, Bonnie from Fenway High School. Okay, not near Fenway Park anymore, and Deb, who runs the whole shebang over there at Boston Public Schools. We'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org, tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thanks for listening.